بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. اللهم أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا عظيم. Okay, for all the brothers, please, if you could give me your attention for a minute, come close so we could start the program. And inshallah, we'll leave the talk later on. Alhamdulillah, now it's a blessed gathering, the gathering of angels, the gathering of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For every word we remember Allah azza wa jal, Allah will remember us. So for all the brothers at the back, please start coming forward and then leave the gaps for the shaitan. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum described themselves that when they used to be in a gathering or a gathering of knowledge, their heads used to be like there's a bird sitting on their heads. Like the bird, one small move will fly away. Their heads used to be so firm and stood that like, they described themselves like birds being on top of their head. Today, inshallah, talk about a very important topic. It's about the dua, and that's what I mentioned last week in last week's lesson, that our topic will be today about the dua. And I'll start off with the hadith that's narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, حيث يقول فيما يرويه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله طيب لا يقبل إلا طيبا وإن الله أمر المؤمنين بما أمر به المرسلين فقال عز من قائل يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات وعملوا صالحا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good. What does tayyib mean? Tayyib means good. Like best, more of the best of the goods. That's what tayyib means. He, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says in the hadith, and it's a very important principle in a Muslim's life to understand. And remember this hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good, and He does not accept anything but unless it's good. Allah azza wa jal is good and doesn't accept anything unless it's good. Okay. What does that phrase, or what does that word, what do they mean? As I said, it's a very important principle in the life of a Muslim. Allah Azza wa Jal said in Surah Fatir, وَالْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ يَرْفَعُ, that the good words Allah Azza wa Jal accepts. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the good deed. He, Allah Azza wa Jal, reveals things to us. Allah Azza wa Jal descends things to us, and we ascend things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal sends things down to us. He sends our life. He sends our sustenance. He sends our provisions. He sends the orders of His. He sends the Quran down. He sends the Sharia down. He sends the orders for us to implement the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these are being sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala down to us from Him. What comes up from us to Him? Okay, Kaz. Mahek? Yeah, Kaz. Okay. Anyone that's blocking our car downstairs, please remove your car so we don't get any disturbance. What comes up from us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's been ascended from us to Allah is our deeds. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I've only created the jinn, the souls, the spirits, I've only created the jinn and the ins, the human, for the sake of my worship. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The verse, okay, in Arabic, see, the Arabic language is a beautiful language. There's difference when you say خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and there's difference to say whether Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, wama,
خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. Just for the letter ما entering the beginning of the sentence, it restricted the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating the human being and the spirits only for the sake of his worship. And that's what Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. I don't ask from them to sustain me or to give me rizq or to feed me. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَالرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the only sustainer and He is the most strongest, most powerful. So what goes up from us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our deeds. The deeds go from us to Allah azza wa jal. And the rizq comes down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, and the acceptance. So what are the deeds that are acceptable by Allah azza wa jal? Is it any deed? No. He, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says in the hadith, Inna Allah طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is good and He only accepts the good. So Allah Azza wa Jal will only accept the good deeds. And what are the good deeds? First of all, the deeds that are practiced according to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only according to the way and the path of Allah Azza wa Jal and the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That means if I want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to Christianity, or according to Buddhism, or according to Judaism, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept that. Why? Because it's not tayyib, it's not good. Why isn't it good? Because it's not implemented according to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to be. And the other thing is sincerity, ikhlas. That I'm doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's what we call a good deed. عَمَلٌ طَيِّبٌ. A good deed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Himself, that He is good and He accepts good. So it's got to be sincere devotion. That I'll do this for the sake of Allah azza wa jal, Allah will accept it. This will be ascended to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If not, Allah azza wa jal will reject it. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes more into details in that hadith where he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained the believers the same. He ordained the prophets. What did He ordain the prophets? What did He order the prophets? يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. O prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nur, O prophets, eat from the good. Eat what's halal. Eat what's halal. Eat what's good. كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Eat what's acceptable for you to eat. What's a halal? What's a halal food that we allowed to eat? What's a halal money are we allowed to touch or take? It's things that are, it really belongs to me. Or I've got, or I'm allowed to take. By me stealing something, or by me eating something that's haram, it's not from the halal that Allah Azza wa Jal had ordered us to eat. And that's where Allah Azza wa Jal orders the prophets to eat from the halal. كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Eat from the halal. And everyone knows what's a halal food. A food that I sweat and I work and I sweat and I buy food with that money that came from my sweat. It's halal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me two rewards. One reward for working and one reward for using that money in a correct place. But once I get this money by me stealing it from someone, committing theft, or buying and selling wrong, haram, like buying and selling drugs, or doing haram things, this is not halal. And that's why I'm only eating haram. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من نبت عظمه ولحمه على الحرام فالنار أولى به. That whoever built, whoever raises his body on haram food and haram, then the fire of hell, it's for him. He's built on haram. His whole life is in haram. So eating from the haram, it's not only haram, or not only also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish you for it. There is a lot of things to it. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. One of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept, that your deeds will not be ascended to Allah azza wa jalla for 40 days. You eating haram or drinking haram, it doesn't mean when I say eating haram, the actual food being haram, like eating pork or eating meat that's haram meat, or drinking wine, that's not only it. But even the food, even if it was a halal meat but bought with the haram money, that also applies to this. This hadith also applies on you buying food, halal food with haram money. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam described this type of people that 40 days, no deeds will be ascended to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means you'll pray for 40 days, your salah is accepted. And what I mean by your salah is accepted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not judge you or count you on your salah. But Allah azza wa jal will not accept one reward of that salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept not even one reward. So for 40 days you eating haram, 40 days your salah is accepted. And if you pray, Allah is not going to ask you about it on the day of judgment. Why didn't you pray? But na hasanat will be ascended to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na hasanat will be recorded. Why? Because you ate the haram. And one of the main things that this hadith also, the continuous of this hadith talks about, that your dua is rejected. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلَ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرَ أَشْعَثٌ أَغْبَرْ يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَقُولُ يَا رَبْ يَا رَبْ وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ فَأَنَّى يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to continue this hadith, mentioning a man, a person, that he's in a long journey. He's traveling in a long journey. Ash'ath akhbar. What does ash'ath akhbar? Yeah, and he's dirty from the dust and the trouble of traveling. Yamuddu yadayhi ila samaa. Raises his hands up to the skies. Who is he asking? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yaqulu ya rabbu ya rab. Ya Allah, ya Allah. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wa mat'amu haram. Yani he puts his hands up, he raises his hands up saying, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, wa mat'amu haram, he eats from haram, wa mashrabuhu haram, he drinks from haram, wa malbasuhu haram, his clothing is also from haram, wa ghudhiya bil haram, his whole life is in haram. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, fa anna yustajabu lah, how could Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept his dua? Fa anna yustajabu lah. How does he expect Allah Azza wa Jal to accept his dua? How does he think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his dua? If he's living in the haram, drinking from the haram, eating from the haram, clothing himself from the haram, raising his kids in the haram, living in the haram, and he puts his hands up saying, ya Allah, how would Allah accept from him? You walk away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you turn your back to Allah Azza wa Jal, and you put your hands up, and you say, ya Allah, and you expect Allah Azza wa Jal to accept your dua. It does not mean Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept his dua. And that's part of the topic I'll talk about today. It does not mean Allah Azza wa Jal is going to reject his dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that he'll accept the dua of everyone, no matter what type of person he is. If it's narrated that Musa bin Imran, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he went past a man that was worshipping the idols. And he used to all the time say, ya sanam, what does sanam mean? Sanam means an idol. Ya sanam, give me this, ya sanam, give me that. Oh idol, give me this, oh idol, give me that. Until one day, he made a mistake with his tongue. Verbally he made a mistake and he said, ya samad. And who's the samad? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He usually says, ya sanam, oh idol, give me this and give me that. This time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to guide him in a way that Allah wants. And Allah guides whoever he wants according to the way Allah wants. He says, ya samad, mistake. He makes a mistake and says, ya samad. So Allah azza wa just says, labbayka ya abdi, oh my servant, I'm here for you. After he's saying, ya sanam, he says, ya samad, ya Allah, by a mistake, Allah azza wa told him, oh my servant, I'm listening to you. Oh, my servant, here I am, I'm for you. So Moses said, "Ya Allah." He's been calling Sanam, Sanam, Sanam for the last years. Idol, idol, idol. And this time he makes a mistake and says, "Ya Samad," which is your name. So, "Ya Allah, what did you listen to him? What did you accept his dua and supplication?" So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, "Ya Musa, he called my name and I'm the Samad." So I replied back to him. "And for that I guided him to worship no one but me. And for that I guided him to worship no one but me." And Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one that said, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلَكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ in Surah An-Naml. And who is the one that's going to accept your dua? When you call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you state of need, who's going to accept your dua? Who's going to listen to you? Who's going to answer back to you? No one but Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this verse in many surah. I have a 5 surah where Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. And when they, in the middle of the oceans, on a boat, on a ship, in the middle of the ocean, what happens? A strong, powerful wave comes and knocks that ship or boat down. And then, they are stuck in the middle of the ocean. Imagine that scene. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ. Allah said in the Quran that He is the one that gives the best examples. That's why the Quran is a miracle. Allah gives us the best examples. You imagine yourself in that situation. Especially you've been away from Allah Azza wa Jal for years. After what Allah Azza wa Jal created you and gave you everything, you used everything against Him, and you turned your back away from Allah Azza wa Jal to follow the path that Allah told you not to follow. Imagine yourself, you're in that position on a boat, and then a strong wave in the middle of the ocean comes and knocks that boat down, and you look around drowning. You look around drowning. Who's there for you? You look up, you look down, you look in the water. There's only fish that doesn't hear or listen. You look around, there's nothing around you. There's not even a being around. You want to look as far as you could see, there's not even a land or island around. You start looking around. Then you look up and you know there's someone up there that's watching you and could help you. So you start calling, "Ya Allah, Ya Allah." And what did Allah Azza wa Jalla said? فَإِذَا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rescue them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rescue them. Even if they turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end, Allah will still accept them and rescue them. That's why Allah described Himself. أَمَّا يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. He is the one that accepts the dua, the supplication of the needed when he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you are far away from Allah azza wa jal, even if you are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you raise your hands to Allah sincerely from your heart for Allah azza wa jal to accept your supplication, Allah azza wa jal will accept your dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your dua. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ad-du'a'u mukhu al-ibadah." Or in another narration it says, "Ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah." That the supplication, the dua, is ibadah. And the meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-du'a," supplication, is the essential thing in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because you humble yourself to your Creator by you raising your hands up to Allah azza wa jal with a crying heart and tears dropping from your eyes. Putting your hands to Allah, asking, "Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, here I'm your slave, and you are my Lord, here I am your creation, and you are my creator, here I am the weak one, and you are the strong one, Ya Allah, I'm resorting to you, Ya Allah, so Ya Allah, accept from me." And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla said, "Ud'uni astajib lakum," ask me, I'll reply back to you. Ud'uni astajib lakum, ask me, make dua, supplicate to me, I'll answer you back. I'll answer you back. And that's why I mentioned this hadith last week. When a man comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tells him, "Ya Muhammad, أَقَرِيبٌ إِلَهُنَا أَقَرِيبٌ اللَّهُ فَنُنَاجِي أَمْ بَعِيدٌ فَنُنَادِي." Is Allah Azza wa Jal close to us that we just need to whisper? Or is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala far away from us that we need to call? Is He far away from us that we need to call? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah reveals the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. When my servants ask you about me, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah states, when my servants ask you about me, O Muhammad, tell them I'm close to them. So ask me, I'll answer you. Ask me, I'll answer you. And that's why you have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicate to Allah and humble yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humble yourself to your Creator. Humble yourself to your Lord. Humble yourself to your Sustainer, Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the essential thing about dua. Dua is the most essential things in worshipping, because it shows you have been a slave to Allah Azza wa Jal, that you are asking Allah and knocking on the doors of your Lord. And one thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma yazal al-'abdu fi khayran ma lam yu'ajjal." Qalu kayfa dhalika ya Rasulullah? Qala da'awtu Allah fa lam yustajab li. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the servant of Allah, he is still in goodness, he is still in khair, that Allah azza wa jalla is going to accept his dua, "Ma lam yu'ajjal," until he says, "I made dua and Allah did not accept from me." Allah hates that. Allah dislikes that. Allah doesn't like his servant to put his hands up and say, "Ya Allah, Ya Allah." Then 1 minute later says, "Ya Allah, I made dua, you did not accept my dua." Allah doesn't like that. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ma yazalu al-abdu bi khayrin ma lam yu'ajjal," that the servant of Allah is still in goodness, is still in the hope of Allah azza wa jal accepting his dua, until he says, "I made dua, Allah did not accept my dua." So Allah azza wa jal rejects him. And subhanallah, one of the beautiful narrations that's narrated, that whenever a mushrik or a kafir, a non-believer, a non-Muslim puts his hands up to Allah and says, "Ya Allah, Ya Allah, give me this and give me that," Allah Azza wa Jalla tells Jibreel, "Oh Jibreel, give him whatever he wants, I don't want to hear his voice." And then when a believer, may Allah Azza wa Jalla make us from them, puts his hands up, raises his hands up to Allah and asks, "Ya Allah, Ya Allah, give me this and give me that," so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Jibreel, "Oh Jibreel, then answer him back." Pause. Then answer him back. Then reply back to him. I'd love to hear his voice. I'd love to hear his voice. He's my servant. And that's what a real servant is, that puts his hands up and asks Allah Azza wa Jalla all the time. That's what a real servant is, that all the time asks Allah Azza wa Jal. وَهَذَا الْحَقُّ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ. That's what the scholars say. That's the essential thing of a worship, of being a servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So never say, "Wallah, I made the dua and Allah did not accept from me. Wallah, I made the dua, Allah will accept from you." And that's why in a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah Azza wa Jal, whenever a person or a servant of Allah asks Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal will reply to him three ways. One of the first ways that Allah Azza wa Jal will reply to him in this world. The other way is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep it till the hereafter, and Allah Azza wa Jal will reward him in the hereafter. And one of them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away the harm equal to the benefit that he asked of. Allah Azza wa Jalla will take away the harm from him. And that's why it's narrated that the servant will stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the day of judgment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, "Bring in the files, bring in the records of him making dua in this world, and I did not accept his dua. I did not reply back to his dua." So the angels will start opening, "Oh Allah, at that day, at that moment, he made this dua, and Ya Allah, he did not answer him back in this world." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him hundreds of rewards. Then again, another dua. So the servant will start saying to himself, "I wish if Allah did not accept not even one dua in this world," because of the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. Because of the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. And that's how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his companions. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants his army. And that's how Allah azza wa jalla wants the believers. The old time supplicate to Allah azza wa jalla. Especially in the moments that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described in many hadiths, that are the moments where Allah azza wa jalla does not reject the dua. أكثروا من الدعاء في السجود. فإنه أقرب ما يكون العبد أقرب إلى ربه في السجود وهو ساجد. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that increase from the dua. Make a lot of dua while you're prostrating to Allah Azza wa Jal. When you've got your forehead on the ground, make a lot of dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, because in that position, the servant of Allah is the most closest to Allah Azza wa Jal in that position. Another one, Allah Azza wa Jalla described, وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla described the real believers are the ones that wake up in the middle of the night praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and supplicating to Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla accepts their dua. And that's why when a companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, O Prophet Allah, when is the best time for me to make dua? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, في جوف الليل الآخر ودبر كل صلاة. In the middle of the night, after midnight, that's a moment where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down from the seventh sky to the first sky and says, هَلْ هُنَاكَ مِنْ دَعِنْ فَأَسْتَجِبْ لَهُ. Is there any person that's asking or supplicating to me and wants me to accept or answer back his supplication? هَلْ هُنَاكَ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرُ لَهُ. Is there any person there that's asking for forgiveness so I could forgive him? هَلْ هُنَاكَ مِنْ تَائِبٍ فَأَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ. Is there any person there that wants to repent so I could repent back to him? That's the best time, after the midnight. And what else? دُبْرَ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ. After every prayer, especially the obligatory prayer, the five prayers, after Fajr, after Duhur, after Asr, after Maghrib, after Isha, after these prayers, it's a car, Mahek. Get a tow truck and tell them to take it. Toyota Camry ADW. Give him 5 minutes, then get the tow truck. Okay. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after every prayer, you've got the Fajr, you've got the Dhuhr, you've got the Asr, you've got the Maghrib, you've got the Isha. After those prayers, all the time put your hands up and say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. It's a moment that Allah Azza wa Jalla accepts the dua. And in the moment of Ramadan, that's a moment where Allah Azza wa Jalla does not reject the dua. In Hajj, in the moment, especially Arafah, inshallah, when you go to Hajj, Arafah, that's a moment where Allah Azza wa Jalla does not reject the dua. Laylatul Qadr, Allah Azza wa Jalla does not reject the dua. Yawm al-Jum'ah, khayru yawm talat alayhi shamsu yawm al-Jum'ah. The best day that the sun had raised on is the day of Jum'ah. It's a moment that Allah Azza wa Jalla does not reject the dua. Especially where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, there's a time in Jum'ah, there's a time in the day of Jum'ah, it's so small. And he pointed with his fingers like this, so tiny. Allah Azza wa Jalla does not reject the dua. So the scholars, there's two narrations. One narration it says it's before the sun sets, and the other one says is when the imam sits down on the minbar. See, when the imam stands up, gives the sermon, then he sits down for the second khutbah. At that small moment is the moment where Allah Azza wa Jalla does not reject the dua. And another thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended for the dua is never make dua on your kids or yourselves or your money. لا تدعوا على أنفسكم ولا على أولادكم ولا على أموالكم. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not make dua against yourselves. Do not make dua against your kids. And subhanallah, especially us, mashaAllah, Arabs, all the time make dua on the kids. Allah يلعنك, Allah يأخذك, Allah this, Allah that, inshallah بتموت, inshallah كذا. You know, she wakes up for school, inshallah نوم أهل الكهف. All this ad'iyah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't make dua on your kids like that. Ma Allah yakhdak, Allah this, or Allah that, Allah la yuwafak, Allah this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't make dua on your kids like that. Don't make dua on yourself like this. Don't make dua on your money like that. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what makes you know when you make that dua, it's a moment where Allah does not reject the dua. You might make a dua in a moment that Allah does not reject a dua. So Allah will accept your dua. Allah will accept your dua. Once a story when I was in Syria, a story, ajib story came up. It turned out to be false, you know. Anyway, it's a story about a mother waking up her kids in Ramadan. For suhoor. So she started to tell him, get up. They did not get up. So she told him, inshallah, no mit ahli kahf. Inshallah, you sleep like the people of kahf. So the next day in Syria, they reckon that these kids slept for 1 year. It turned out to be not true. Anyway, for subhanAllah, like this in a dua all the time, dua. Make dua all the time, make a good dua, don't make a bad dua. You see your kid doing something wrong, Ya Ibn Allah Yahdik, Ya Ibn Allah Yawafak. You see your brother doing something wrong, don't go and say, Allah Yal'anak, Allah Yakhtak, Allah Yamautak, Allah this, Allah that. Ya Khi, he's got something wrong in him, fix it. So at least make dua. At least make dua. And that's why the Prophet said, don't make dua on your, against yourselves, against your kids, and against your money. What makes you know that your dua might be accepted in the moment that Allah Azza wa Jalla does not reject the dua? Fa ikhwani, this is about the dua. Dua is an essential thing in Islam. Dua is an essential thing in the worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua is the main attribute of you being a servant of Allah azza wa jal. Dua is something that the Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to hear from His servant. That's why all the time increase from the dua. And there's a lot of ad'iyah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recommend. Especially the dua when you get into the house and out of the house, when you exit the mosque and you enter the mosque, the dua when you exit the toilet, enter the toilet, the dua when you ride a car or you drive, the dua when you, after the salawat, especially the dua in the morning, the dua at night, the all dua, you find them especially in books. Go to any books, Islamic bookstore, and tell them, like, is there the supplication or invocations of the Muslims during the day and night? Make sure you know this dua. And that's why one of the most beloved dua to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I could benefit you, the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam benefited us, that when Aisha told him, O Prophet Allah, teach me a dua. So he used to all the time tell her, Ya Aisha Quli, Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina azab al nar. Ya Allah, give us a good hasana in this world, and give us a good hasana in the hereafter, and prevent us from the fire of hell. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina azab al nar. Repeat it after me. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina azab al nar. And another hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about this hadith and that hadith, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-t-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. Ya Allah, ask you for your guidance. Ya Allah, ask you the piety. Ya Allah, ask you the afaf, the prevention from the haram. Ya Allah, wa-t-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. Ya Allah, ask you the richness of this, the iman. Yana Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-t-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. The scholar said, laqad jama'a bayna khayray ad-dunya wal-akhirah. About those two dua, especially Allahumma atina fi ad-dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-t-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. These dua combines the goodness of this world and the goodness of the hereafter. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون احسنه. I remind the brothers that anyone that's interested to learn how to pray or refreshes memory about learning how to pray, or he knows someone that does not learn or doesn't know how to pray, alhamdulillah, he's the signs there. Everyone is there after Salat al-Isha with Sheikh Nuruddin. He's given lessons to teach these brothers. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Azimina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ja'alna sababan liman ihtada. Allahumma ahdi ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. إنك يا ربنا قريب مجيب للدعوات. اللهم أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. وسلام على المرسلين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. وجزاكم الله خيرا جميعا.